gather in the Lord's house during this season of Easter to prepare and encounter the risen Lord. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Amen. Thank you, Bert, for our opening prelude this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house on this Easter Sunday morning. You might be thinking, well, it's not Easter. It's always Easter. We are in the season of the risen Lord. And in the Christian church, we are in the season of Easter as we are in the shadow of the empty tomb. And I'm glad you decided to join us for worship here this day as we continue to celebrate the risen Lord. If you are a first-time visitor with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship this day. I want you to take a moment, if you can, and fill out one of the visitor's cards that's located in the pew in front of you. And as you leave worship later on today, just drop it off in the offering plate so we can have a record of your visit with us. For those that are watching us this morning on Facebook Live, welcome. If you are a first-time guest with us online, send me an email this week. Let me follow up with you later on this week and share what First Baptist Elon is all about. You can also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin, use that as a resource for today. For those that are gathered here in our sanctuary this morning, looking at our bulletin today, just a reminder, we begin a new adult study this afternoon at 4 o'clock. You're going to hear a little bit more details about that later on in worship today, but just know 4 o'clock this afternoon in the fellowship hall will be a new study for our adults. Something that's not in your bulletin today, but Gabe wanted me to announce this morning, for our senior adults, this Tuesday there is going to be a senior adult breakfast at 9 o'clock at Grillworks. So a wonderful time of fellowship around the table on Tuesday of this week. So get your food ready, get your hunger ready. A great time of gathering around the table on Tuesday at 9 a.m. Also on Tuesday, if you would like to go with our bingo and birthday ministry that we do at the Golden Year Senior Center, that's at 1:30 p.m. You could talk to Sandy French this morning or talk to one of us, and we'll help you go with that wonderful time of ministry that takes place every other Tuesday. Looking ahead to this Wednesday at 1:45, our circle of friends, our group that goes and visits many of our homebound members around here and around our community. If you would like to go with that group, all you have to do is meet here at the church at 1:45 upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom, and then go and visit some of the of those individuals that can't gather with us on every Sunday morning. So that's at 1:45, and then of course choir rehearsal Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. You will also notice in your bulletin there are two mission gatherings we're doing right now in the month of April. The first mission gathering is we're collecting items for the Allied Churches of Alamance County. If you don't know about Allied Churches does many ministries in our community, and they do many ministries within their facility, and they have lots of things they're collecting throughout the year. Many of the items that they need there will help contribute to many of the different ministries that they do, but you'll see a laundry list of items that they need right now, including food items, paper products, personal care items. If you have the opportunity to pick some of these items up when you're out running errands this week or during the month of April, pick some of those items up. You can drop those off in the containers in the communication center or upstairs in the fellowship hall. So pick some of those items up. Also, one of the other collections we're doing during the month of April is that we are preparing to put together the goodie bags for reading day for our Elon University students. We'll be collecting those items through the month of April. So please pick up some snack items and drop them off in the collection bins, the boxes that are located in the same places as well during the month of April too. Finally, Senior Adult Luncheon is coming up. It is quickly approaching on Monday, April 29th. The sign-up sheets are out, located all around the church. There's one in the foyer. There's one in every Sunday school classroom. So go ahead and put your name on that list. It is Monday, April 29th. That's usually the luncheons are on Tuesday. So make sure you make note of that date change. It's on a Monday this month, and it will be a wonderful time of food and music celebration. So you won't want to miss that. Monday, April 29th. So go ahead and sign up. The earlier you sign up, the better. It helps the prep team as they know how much food to get. And it will be a wonderful time of fellowship on that day. Many other things going on in the life of our church. If you did not receive an April newsletter, you can pick one up in the church in the foyer this morning. Pick one of those up and see some of the other things that are going on in the life of our church right now. But we gather here this morning in our sanctuary. We gather here in the presence of God to lift praise to the risen Lord. That's why we're here. Let's sing praise to Him this morning.
Our first hymn this morning is Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. Let's stand and worship together.
Oh,
This morning, our opening scripture reading is Psalm 133. Listen to these words. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. When we gather to worship today at 11 o'clock, not just in this place, but as the Christian church gathers together, we gather unified through the risen Lord, unified through the empty tomb. That is the power of what Christ did for us. And may we go to God in prayer today, giving thanks for that unity. Let us pray. Lord God, how very good it is to be drawn together by you as brothers and sisters in Christ in this season of the resurrection. Pour your empowering spirit upon us this day, that the Easter message we here proclaim may become more than words upon a page. Help us this hour to listen for and lean towards your voice, which speaks beyond the words we utter. Move us past our doubts that we might step forward with a faith that does not end when we leave this place. Nudge us to touch areas of our lives that need to be touched, so that we might then recognize that no door is so heavy that it can lock you out. This we pray in the name of the one for whom you rolled away the stone, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now, I have a quick question for you guys. How many of you knew the first song we sang? Some of you? I could tell a lot of you didn't. I couldn't hear you singing this morning. But I promise you will know this one. Love divine or love excelling. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Jesus, thou art.
Heard me mention today that starting today at 4 p.m. we'll be starting a new adult study. This new six-week study for our adults is titled Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. This video study by Pastor Louis Giglio will challenge each of us to not let negative thoughts control our lives. Now, when we allow the power of Jesus Christ to take control of our thoughts and emotions, we can keep the enemy, Satan, from influencing our thinking. And drawing from Psalm 23, Jesus invites each one of us individually to a table that he has prepared special for you and for me, a table where the enemy is not invited. Leslie Cornell and Phil Thompson will be leading this study over the next 6 weeks. They want to encourage each one of you to participate, and that starts this afternoon. They want to encourage each one of you as well to try to get the book. Many of you have already ordered the book in advance, and thankful for those that have ordered the book. For those that are coming this afternoon, they want you to read chapters 1 and chapters 2 for session 1 this afternoon at 4 p.m. Now, if you did not order a book, it is not too late. You can actually sign up on the clipboard in the foyer today, and I will actually place an order for books tomorrow, and they'll get in by the middle of this week. So you won't have it for today, but that's okay. They still want you to come and participate. Bring your Bible as well. That will be needed. But you can also order the book online as well if you want to go that direction. But it should be an interesting study. It should be a great discussion study that will take place on Sunday afternoon starting today. If you cannot join us in person at 4 p.m. today, you can watch on Facebook Live at 4 p.m. as well, or at a later date. But as I've always said, and Leslie and Phil will also agree with me here, the discussion is much better when you're there in person, because if you're looking at a computer screen won't talk back to you. I've tried, it doesn't work. So, come in person at 4 o'clock today for session 1 of Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at the Table. Now, at this time, I'll call on Sally Farnham for our offertory prayer.
Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all together to worship you. You know our hearts. You know our every needs. We know that all good gifts come from you, Lord, and we are so very thankful for these gifts. Help us to be generous givers, both with our offerings that we bring this morning, but also with our lives, so that we might make a difference to all those that need you and need to hear your word. Amen.
There is a redeemer.
Let us once again go to God in prayer this morning before we encounter his word. Risen Christ, our eternal Savior, like the disciples, we are gathered together this week after Easter, wondering whether it is true, marveling at the possibility and daring to hope. Like the disciples, we are sometimes afraid, sometimes full of doubt. But in your extravagant generosity, your boundless love, you appear to us in our fear and love us in our doubts and grant us the oceans of your peace. Thank you for loving us as we are. Teach us not to hide from our doubts, but to recognize it as a door to mystery and to deepen faith. After all, the disciples' fear became a visitation as they saw you among them, risen and triumphant. Thomas's doubt became a moment of revelation as he saw and touched you and finally believed. This morning we pray for the many men and women in our society who have no faith at all. There are so many who live without hope, without knowledge of your resurrection, without your light on their lives. Grant us the courage to live as witnesses to your resurrection. Risen Christ, be light in our world. We pray for those in our congregation this morning who find it difficult to believe. Lord knows that they are not alone, but in the best of company. Even Christ's own disciples struggled to believe all that they had seen and heard. Loving Christ, it is your presence that removes all fear and erases all doubts. So come, granting those who doubt your presence and peace. And grant to each one of us, living Lord Christ, renewed faith, great courage, and your boundless peace. We rejoice in your presence this Easter morning. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship on this Easter Sunday morning. And I will confess I'm not 100% today, as many of you know, and I have greatly appreciated your prayers this day. I have been struggling this week with migraines and the vertigo hit really hard this morning. And so I will say when I grip the pulpit really tightly, I'm getting into the sermon, but I'm also getting some balance. So I'm thankful for that. And if I go and grab the stool over there, I just may have to. It's because I'm just going to sit and balance a little bit more. But God is good, and I am thankful for that. I pray that the celebration of the resurrection has continued this week after our worship celebration last Sunday. May it continue to resonate in your souls for the coming days, weeks, and months, because Easter and resurrection is not a one-day thing. It is a lifetime thing. He is risen is the heartbeat of the message of the Christian church. These three English words are translated from one Greek word, Igero, which literally means to waken or to rouse from the dead. 2,000 years ago, Scripture claims God became flesh in the person of his son, Jesus. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a life without sin, took all our sin upon him, and died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. What does Igero mean to us 2,000 years later? If Jesus has not been raised, we really do not have any hope of living up to God's standard of perfection. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, then we are just kidding ourselves. There is no real hope. And what we are doing, although harmless here today, is useless if Jesus is not risen from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3 tells us that if Jesus is risen from the dead, then we have the possibility of new birth. That means that not only were we born physically, but we can also be born spiritually. All of our sins can be forgiven. No matter how bad we have been, no matter how bad we have blown it, no matter how much we have surrendered to a lifestyle of sin, through faith in the resurrection of Jesus, we can have a new birth. Second, we can live our lives with hope. We would not live like those who have no hope in anything beyond this world. We have hope in the eternal life that is to come. What does Egero mean to us today, 2,000 years later? It means everything. Everything. It is the most important statement. It is the most important question that we could ask. What does Egero mean? However, there is a difference between simply believing that Jesus was raised from the dead and believing that it applies to your life. That is why on this Easter Sunday morning, as we bask in the shadow of the Egero, I think it is fitting to examine the life of perhaps the best known doubter in the Bible, Thomas. Now, as I have preached before, I preached about it last year, I think Thomas gets a bad rap. He gets a bad rap. To be labeled throughout history as doubting carries a heavy weight. However, I think Thomas's doubt can serve as a key to unlocking the vault of true belief. So today, let us examine the key steps on being on the road from doubt to belief. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 29 this morning. The words that we'll be reading will be displayed on the worship screens behind me as well. You can pick up one of the pew Bibles that are located in the pew in front of you or below you. I'll be picking up on the fourth gospel's account, John's account of the resurrection, where I left off last Sunday. I left off at verse 18. To this morning, I'll be reading starting in verse 19. Listen to these words. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." In Jesus' time, it was commonly known that rabbis would go looking for students or disciples. The rabbis would look for the most qualified, most highly educated disciples who had the greatest potential. The rabbis would ask disciples to follow them and train them. Being chosen as a disciple was one of the greatest breaks in that era. Jesus, however, was a very controversial rabbi because he healed people and he performed miracles. Now, one day, Jesus approached a fisherman named Thomas and invited him to follow him as one of his disciples. Now, what you need to understand about Thomas is that he was not selected by any of the other rabbis at that time. Jesus wasn't the only rabbi at that time. No other rabbis came and knocked on Thomas's door. Thomas was just a fisherman. But Jesus chose Thomas. Thomas was probably not disciple material. He was not educated. He was not among the elite. He was rather ordinary. In other words, to be chosen to be a disciple by Jesus was the break of Thomas's lifetime. That is why it was easy for him to leave his family business and everything else behind to follow Jesus. Thomas staked the rest of his life on being a disciple of this rabbi Jesus. That is why when Jesus gave his life on the cross 3 years later, Thomas did not even show up for the event. He just sank into what surely was deep depression. All the other disciples gathered just a few days after the crucifixion, but Thomas went AWOL. He was lost. He was panicked. His world was spinning, and he did not know which way was up. That is why many people call Thomas the doubter. But I believe that doubt can actually be one of the most effective elements to lead someone to true committed belief. I think there are three important steps on that road to commit a belief that we need to look at today. And it all starts with doubt. Doubt is the first step on the road to belief for many. In many churches, the understood rule is this, is that doubts should be ignored or suppressed, but never talked about. Don't talk about doubts. We don't talk about that. We like to use a lot of churchy words and faith statements, but if you have doubts, keep them to yourself. Take them home with you. Suppress them. Don't talk about them. But sometimes, even the most committed Christ followers deal with doubts. In verse 25, all the disciples were gathered together and claiming they had seen Jesus, that he was risen. But Thomas, who was not with them earlier, doubted. And we like to say, shame on him. Shame on Thomas. For 3 years he had seen it. If I was with him, I would have believed. I would have been there. Really? You would? Would you really? You had dedicated your life for 3 years to a man that you thought was the Christ, you thought was the Messiah, and then he's killed. He gave up his life, and you're going to continue to follow him? But wait, he was supposed to change the world. He was supposed to change your world. And now he's lying in a grave. Really? How soon can we change Thomas's name to David? Gay. How soon we start to write a new name there. But Thomas, who was not with them earlier, doubted. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe it. There are three ways in Greek to say, I will not believe. Of the three, this is the strongest of the three. Unless I can touch him and see him for myself, I refuse to believe that he is risen. If Jesus was truly risen, then that one act of God demanded the rest of Thomas's life. But if Jesus was not risen, then his great hopes and dreams were all for naught. The last 3 years were not for no reason at all. He had to know the truth for himself. That position earned Thomas the lasting reputation as the great doubter. But maybe that's a title I'd be willing to carry too. Because maybe it leads to something greater. I argue that if you are wrestling with doubts today, that position can be the greatest place to start on your journey to committed faith and belief. It is as if Thomas were saying, this means so much to me. I have to know for myself. I need to see it to believe it. And how many times have we said the exact same thing? Some of you may be wrestling with similar questions today. Do I believe this whole Christian thing? Or am I simply going through the motions because my parents did or my grandparents did? Am I just a weak person looking for some kind of crutch? God is not afraid of these hard questions. Our God is not afraid of the hard questions. Even Jesus from the cross proclaimed, my God, why have you forsaken me? I admire the person with a simple faith who says, the Bible says it and I believe it and that just settles it. But many of us wonder why. Why should I believe this? Some people sincerely wonder, is Jesus really the only way to God? And that's a fair question and a decent place to start on our journey to real faith. The road to committed faith often starts with doubt. But it's not the only step. The second step is that God will grant us discoveries on that road to belief. As we sincerely seek him, he will let us know him in new ways. He will answer our doubts, though not necessarily as we would like him to. The Bible tells us in verse 26 and 27 that Thomas had not shown up for a week. He hadn't been there for a week. The Bible tells us in verse 26 and 27 that Thomas had been AWOL. He had been missing. He was devastated, but then a week later, something led him back. The disciples gathered back again in the house, and Thomas was there. The doors were locked, and Jesus appeared among them again and said, peace be with you. Jesus' greeting was the kindest and most generous Greek greeting anyone could ever offer. The phrase literally means all peace in all ways and at all times be with you. Jesus gave Thomas the most benevolent greeting possible. He didn't show up and say, what are you doing here, doubter? How many oftentimes would that be our response? Somebody doesn't show up for us for a week and we go, what are you doing here? Jesus didn't say that. He said, peace be with you. Peace. He did not scold him for the doubt. He did not belittle him for the doubt. He did not write him off for the doubt. So why for 2,000 years has the church done it? Rather, he greeted him warmly. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hands and put them into my side. Stop doubting and believe. We do not know what Thomas had been doing that week before. I can imagine he'd been questioning his life decisions. I can imagine that maybe he had been asking God a lot of questions. But in that moment in the upper room, Jesus gave Thomas exactly what he needed in order to believe. I believe with all my heart that God will do the exact same thing for you. He may not give you what you want, but he will give you exactly what you need. Whether we are in full-blown doubt mode or just have a few swirling questions, God will provide what we need. Those discoveries may come in the form of people, experiences, passages of Scripture, or who knows, maybe even in a poorly delivered sermon on a Sunday morning. You never know. Do not dismiss it as pure coincidence. Embrace it as a God moment. That is what Thomas did. You can too. But that's not the last step. I think the final step is that everyone can choose committed belief. In verse 28, Thomas says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." For a Jew to make this statement was considered blasphemy that was punishable by death. But Thomas did not care. At this point, he did not care what he said or who he said it to. His belief was embraced. He got what he needed. He got Egero in that moment. Tradition and other reliable sources tell us that Thomas became the evangelizer of the entire continent or entire country of India. Many sources claim that he was in India from the years 52 to 72 AD and founded many churches there. It is commonly accepted that when a group of non-believers asked him to deny his faith in Christ, the one-time doubter claimed, "I will never, ever renounce Christ." And because of that refusal, they drove a stake through his body, and he died the death of a martyr. The doubter turned believer, turned faithful and committed believer. Each of us has the exact same choice as Thomas, to believe or not to believe. With everything in me, I believe in a new birth and a living hope that comes only through the resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Either we believe that or we are just playing church. There are those of you today that perhaps are ready to step across that line of commitment. Jesus spent time together with people like us, sinners. He loves people like us. He said, "If you want to have a part of my kingdom, you must first deny yourself. It is no longer about you. Then you take up your cross and follow me." Being a disciple of Christ is not just praying some kind of fire insurance prayer. It is about following him and making him the Lord of your life. If the resurrection is true, it demands our whole life. Thomas believed, you can too. And I can proclaim from the pulpit today that Egero is true. No matter where you are on your journey from doubt to belief, God is ready to meet you, embrace you, and welcome you. The question is, are you ready to embrace Egero today? That's a choice for you to make, just like Thomas did. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son who gave his life, who rose again, who provides us hope in a new life. Father, thank you for Thomas. May we reclaim him as a faithful and committed believer, not the doubter, but the one who embraced you, who saw you and dedicated his life to ministry and service for you. We're called to do the same thing. Thank you for his model of faith. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to sing our closing hymn this morning, maybe today for the first time, you're ready to embrace Christ as that faithful believer, just as Thomas did many, many years ago. We each have to make that decision for ourselves. If you're ready to make that decision, I'll be down front. Maybe today you're looking for a faithful group of believers that seeks to embrace the risen Lord through ministry and purpose. First Baptist Elon could be that home for you. Let me talk to you about what it means to be a part of our body of believers here. Or maybe today you've been wrestling with that risen Lord. Maybe there's questions of doubt that you have. That's okay. It is okay to ask the questions. I'll be down front. I can answer some of those questions for you. If you need to bring those questions to God, bring them to the pulpit. Bring them to the altar. It's His altar. Leave them there with Him. Don't go away thinking, if I have questions, then I'm in the wrong place. You're not. Ask those questions. Continue to ask those questions, but continue to come back to Him. Don't forget that. Keep coming back to Him. That's the call of every believer. That's the road that we're on. Let's stand and sing this morning. Go to Him. Ask those questions. He's ready to answer. Go in peace.